It's 9:15 on a mild and overcast Saturday morning in April. A peculiar congregation has formed at Fin Rock Landing on the Mackenzie River. 15 or so Mackenzie River drift boats are hugging the riverbank in small groups, roped to rocks and trees and each other, waiting.
We're going to start launching in about 15 minutes.
The boats are gathered for the 4th annual Wooden Boat Festival parade down the Mackenzie. And although today's drift is only supposed to be a parade, nearly every boat has at least one fishing rod in it, just in case. The owners of the boats are hugging the riverbanks in small groups as well, drinking steaming cups of strong black coffee served on a collapsible table fashioned from an old boat floorboard. As the caffeine begins to flow, so does the banter.
His name is really the Watchmaker. That's what I call him, the Watchmaker. Have you looked at the quality of his boat? I mean, look at the quality of what you do, all the little details.
Kind.
No, I'm very honest with you. You're astounding.
I'll show you all the flaws on the way down the river.
The modest watchmaker's name is actually Greg Hatton. He's a retired business executive who assembled his first boat from a pre-manufactured kit, and he continues to tack time on to the 800 hours of labor he's already invested.
It's named appropriately Obsession.
Out on the Mackenzie, a line of glossy wooden boats, including the Obsession, begin the drift. Like most others, Hatton came to the Mackenzie River drift boat out of a healthy love of fishing.
I mean, it was really born in this, on this river, to run class 2, class 3, class 4 rapids so that you could run the river as well as stop and fish.
Flat-bottomed, high-sided, maneuverable, the boat allows fishermen to reach water impossible to get to from land. Probably no one knows more about the life and evolution of the Mackenzie River drift boat than Roger Fletcher. He wrote what is widely considered the drift boat Bible, a book called Drift Boats and River Dories, Their History, Design, Construction, and Use. Fletcher says the earliest boats used on the Mackenzie River were traditional rowboats, long, narrow, extremely heavy, and a beast to maneuver. In the early 1920s, a river guide named John West became the first to shorten the traditional rowboat to 14 feet and widen the bottom to offer greater stability. But just a few years later, Fletcher says an Arkansas preacher named Velty Pruitt had a revelation.
In about 1925-26, built the very light board and batten boat out of spruce and Port Orford cedar that basically was used by Velty and Prince Helfrich to navigate Oregon's wild rivers for the first time. They prove the notion that for boat building, form follows function.
Back on the Mackenzie River, Greg Hatton shows off the Obsession in action.
It's almost like a dance. I mean, it's almost like an impromptu, unchoreographed, lovely river dance where you're constantly moving the boat side to side and watching down the river. And there's no other boat that can maneuver like drift boats can. They can see the trouble right here. This is a little tricky. We got rocks on the left, we got rocks on the right. I'm going to get past the ones on the right, and then I'm going to cut really fast and miss this one. See that one right there? That's pretty good.
That was nice.
Thank you.
You missed that by about
an inch.
1.5 feet.
Well, we could have gotten closer then.
Throughout the entire rapid, neither one of us got wet. Hatton attributes this to the high plywood sides of the drift boat, one of its unique features. It wasn't until the late 1930s that plywood became good enough to withstand water. And the man responsible for first using it in the boats was a Norwegian transplant to Eugene named Torkel Gudmund Tom Karhus. Tom's granddaughter, Moria Karhus, used to play in his Eugene shop as a child.
It was at 13th and Moss, which is where Williams Bakery used to be and where the new arena is going to go up, the basketball arena. It was an amazing building. It was made with old growth timbers and hugely heavy construction, big plank floors and square nails. And on the front it said skis, boats, and cabinets.
Tom Karhus was a popular man and respected widely for his craftsmanship. He was known for building a boat referred to as a square ender. People were always stopping by the shop to talk and get advice on another Karhus innovation, boat kits. He created assemble-it-yourself patterns that he shipped to clients all over the West. Again, drift boat historian Roger Fletcher.
He was able to design a system whereby the guides could begin to build their own boats much more efficiently. And it was people like Carhus that basically helped open up the river to people like myself, who are not professional guides, but love the river.
The final major step in the evolution came in the early 1940s from a man who learned the craft of boat building from Tom Carhus. Woody Hindmond opened his shop in Springfield. He realized the wide, flat, downriver end of the Square Ender posed a problem in whitewater. It didn't handle waves.
What he did was he took the front part of the boat and mirrored it exactly and made the back exactly like the front. So he made the first double ender.
Seen from above, the double ender took the shape of a cat eye, but Maria Carhus says there was one more modification to come.
And then later, people wanted the motor, and so they modified it and took, it was kind of like halfway my grandpa's design and halfway the double ender, and they came up with a modified transom that isn't as wide as the square ender. My dad used to say it floated like a leaf on the water, and you could turn it on a dime.
From this point in the 1940s, the basic form or lines of the Mackenzie River drift boat hasn't changed much. But every boat builder makes his or her own little adjustments. Greg Hatton's modifications include a floor bar, beautifully crafted oar locks, and storage compartments to hold his fishing tackle. At Tatman Boats, located in the small Mackenzie River community of Nimrod, owner Randy Dersham leans over an upended drift boat not yet polished to the common golden brown finish.
Most boat building is sanding.
Dersham says a lot has changed with wooden boat construction and materials. For one thing, the native wood used to make the plywood sides just isn't as pretty anymore.
It takes old growth Douglas fir to make AA side marine fir. And old growth fir, as you know, is very expensive and very difficult to get.
Tatman Boats is leaving its mark on the Mackenzie River drift boat, using computer-controlled saws to incorporate an old-school boat-building method called scribe fitting.
So I don't want to pretend that I built the boat-building method, but this is certainly a very new thing applied to Mackenzie River drift boats. It's definitely what we right here today are adding to the whole story.
The Mackenzie drift boat has helped create a vibrant fishing and guiding economy, attracting people from all over the world to Oregon. But Roger Fletcher, he sees the boat through a different lens.
Its biggest impact, I think, has been on the lives of the people who access the river in a drift boat. It's far more personal and spiritual, I guess I would say.
The Mackenzie River drift boat is a glossy golden brown emblem of Lane County's natural and cultural heritage. For KLCC News, I'm Jess Burns, drifting the Mackenzie.